Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Now, we are often imitated, but never duplicated. First on the docket, an indictment regarding the death of Vanessa Guillen, an unusual gag order in the Jennifer Dulos matter, Joe Exotic gets a resentencing, a kidnapping case that is just almost too crazy to believe, an accident or premeditation, Oklahoma inmates having a swell time, a serious case involving McDonald's, don't do this if you get upset, the FBI thrown under the bus for their handling of the Larry Nassar matter, and finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button and make sure you hit that little bell in the corner so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Want to thank everyone for joining us last night for our Tuesday night live show and for all of our Patreon members. I think we had a great time. Hope to see you all next week. Now, before we get started, let's take a look at an ad from our sponsor, Felix Gray. Please support them because they support Crime Talk. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. It's Scott Reich. I want to share with you a little secret. You know I wear glasses. That's right. The vision went out years ago. It went out in law school. Why? Because all of the reading. Now, we don't read from books that often anymore. We look at computer screens. We all know that can be hard on the eyes and disruptive to sleep. That's why I got these from Felix Gray. Their lenses filter 15 times more blue light than a normal lens. It makes a big difference on the eyes. Now, I went for the hopper style, and I love them. I use these in front of the computer every day. Now, these lenses, along with the frames, are available in non-prescription, prescription, and readers. And here's the best thing about it. If you don't love them, you have 30 days in which to send them back. But guess what? You are going to love them and you're not going to send them back because they're going to be great in front of that computer screen. So go to the Felix Gray link in the section below and get your pair of Felix Gray glasses and lenses today. All right, first on the docket, an indictment regarding the death of Army soldier Vanessa Guillen. A federal grand jury has indicted Cecilia Aguilar, 22. She is accused of helping her boyfriend, Soldier Aaron Robinson, dismember 20-year-old Guillen, who had filed reports of sexual harassment on the base. Robinson allegedly beat Guillen to death with a hammer inside a Fort Hood armory, and then they disposed of her body. It's alleged that Robinson needed help disposing of Guillen's body and in turn contacted Aguilar. So both Robinson and Aguilar allegedly drove to the Leon River area, then used a machete to dismember the body. Although Aguilar initially confessed, she later asked a federal judge to toss the confession. That request was denied. We'll let you know as new information becomes available. Next on the docket, a very unusual gag order, something that I've never seen in a case. So the lawyer for Fotos Dulos, the Connecticut man accused of murder after his estranged wife, Jennifer Dulos, disappeared, will be banned from discussing the case for 40 years. This is according to documents related to a probate court settlement. The attorney must also return more than half of the $250,000 retainer Dulos gave them shortly before his death. The probate judge approved of the settlement on Tuesday, ending lawsuits filed against the criminal defense lawyer Norman Pattis and Kevin Smith. And as you may recall, Jennifer Dulos vanished in May of 2019 after dropping the estranged couple's 5 children off at school in New Canaan, where she was living, a case that drew international news coverage and led to a TV documentary series. Her body still has not been found. Her disappearance came amid contentious divorce and child custody proceedings. Shocking, right? The police accused Fotos Dulos of attacking Jennifer in her garage when she returned home from school, driving off with her body. He was charged with murder in January 2020 and died weeks later after a suicide attempt. He wrote a letter right before the suicide attempt saying that he had nothing to do with his wife's disappearance. I don't think the prosecutor's giving any weight to that letter in any way. Now, the original lawsuit, which led to this settlement, was filed by Jennifer Dulos' family and Fotos Dulos' estate. The estate would do that because they're trying to claw back as much money as they can to pay off any debts. The firm has to return $137,000 of the $250,000 retainer Fotos Dulos paid after he was charged with murder. So remember that figure, ladies and gentlemen. That's what representation costs on a homicide these days. That's right. Justice is expensive. Injustice costs a hell of a lot more. Now, murder and conspiracy charges remain pending against Michelle Traconis. That was Fotos Dulos' former girlfriend and his former business attorney slash friend, Kent Mahinney. Police accused them of helping to cover up the killing. Both have pled not guilty. Unusual case indeed, but the attorney is an unusual one as well. So not surprising, a 40-year gag order. Never heard of anything like that before. That's right. We have to bring you some Joe Exotic news. We've tried not to get on the Joe Exotic bandwagon, but sometimes you have to just tell the news the way it is. Now, Joe Exotic, he may have caught a little bit of a break and may be getting out of prison just a wee bit sooner. The Federal Appeals Court for the Tiger King star upheld his conviction for the murder for hire counts in which he was convicted, but the sentencing has been vacated and now Joe Exotic has to go back for a resentencing. According to the appellate courts, the district court judge for the Western District in Oklahoma made a technical error by not grouping the two murder for hire convictions in his sentence. What does that mean? Well, grouping under the federal sentencing guidelines basically is to say, well, you have to kind of lump them all together because it was one really same criminal episode. The judge at sentencing tried to look at them as separate incidents and not one ongoing criminal episode. So what does that mean? I can tell you that Joe Exotic is not going to get that much relief. He still is in the range of between 17 and 21 years. And as we stated, he got a 22-year sentence previously that was now vacated. Now, I coincidentally did a resentencing on a case just recently, and it was because the same appellate court said the judge made an error, go back for resentencing. Let me tell you what the judges do. What the judge will do is find a way to get to the same sentence. Why? Because the judge felt that that was the appropriate sentence at the time, and if he can get to that same sentence another way, the judge will do it. So Joe Exotic may have won a battle, but he still lost the war, and I don't think anyone is going to give a federal pardon to Joe Exotic. We'll keep you updated when his new sentence comes down. Now, who says jail has to be uncomfortable, right? A lot of people in custody probably think, why does it have to be so tough in here? What is it supposed to be like? Punishment or something? Well, take a look at this. A video showing inmates at an Oklahoma jail appearing to be smoking and grilling food hibachi style inside a cell with an open flame. Now you may ask yourself, Scott, what's the problem? I mean, inmates can be often very resourceful in things that they do. Well, the whole point of this story is they were videotaping it on a cell phone, an item that they should not have while they're in custody. So clearly it looks like this is a classic situation of the inmates running the jail. Look at this video. These inmates are literally bragging about their accomplishment. Somehow I think that this jail in Oklahoma City was going to have a shakedown if it hasn't taken place already, and any contraband whatsoever will be taken, and these inmates ruined it for everybody. The other inmates are probably going to impose a little jailhouse justice on Artis Dixon, Quantrell Ellison, and Hashim Coleman, who thought it was a good idea to broadcast on Facebook Live from an illegal phone of their exploits. Good luck, gentlemen. Somehow I think those guys that are going to be in a 23-hour day lockdown are going to hold you responsible. All right, next on the docket, a story of a kidnapping and rescue that is just crazy. But as we've said before, ladies and gentlemen, you can't make this stuff up. A kidnapped woman was rescued after leaving notes pleading for help in two public restrooms in Pennsylvania. Now, Corey Brewer of Pittsburgh faces charges of sexual assault and unlawful restraint charges for allegedly holding the woman against her will, get this, since May 1st of this year. The woman left her first note in a bathroom of the Walmart in Carnegie, Pennsylvania on July 8th, claiming that she was being held against her will and sexually and physically assaulted. She said Brewer had a knife and insisted someone call 911 because this was not a joke. She also left information including the type of car Brewer drove and the address in hopes that she would be rescued. The employees at the Walmart found the note and informed the police. When law enforcement arrived at the address listed on the note, no one answered, but they could hear furniture being moved around on the inside. Officers called Brewer's number, asking to speak to the victim privately, but he refused to take the call off speakerphone. During the phone conversation, Brewer told police that the two were in New York on vacation, and the victim told police that Brewer was her boyfriend. 2 days later, on July 10th, another note from the same victim appeared on the mirror of a woman's restroom at the Falling Water Museum in Mill Run. Surveillance footage from Falling Water showed Brewer and the alleged victim at the landmark. In the second note, the woman again begged someone to call 911. She claimed that she had been held against her will since May 1 and that despite what she said on the phone, she was not on vacation with her boyfriend. Police were able to get a search warrant. The SWAT team surrounded Brewer's home in Scott Township early Sunday morning, rescuing the woman and arresting Brewer. Now, according to police reports, she told police that Brewer took her phone, sexually and physically assaulted her, threatening to kill her and her children if she tried to leave. The woman also alleged that Brewer took nude photos of her against her will and used a knife to cut her foot. These signs of injury were confirmed by the police. Now, Brewer and the woman had previously been in a relationship, but the woman filed a protection of abuse order against him in August of 2020, which expired 1 month later. Now, Brewer is being held in the Allegheny County Jail and is due in court on July 22nd for a preliminary hearing. That is a crazy story, but not something out of the realm of possibility, obviously, because I think we have to take this woman's story as true. We'll give Mr. Brewer the presumption of innocence. I'm sure he's going to claim that this was all just a big misunderstanding and she must have been upset. Somehow I think Mr. Brewer's in trouble. Next on the docket, an accident or premeditated murder? You decide. Let me know in the comments section below. A Connecticut man who shot and killed his wife back in May and claimed her death was an accident has now been charged with murder. Albert Kokoth, 77, of New Canaan, told his daughter and a 911 dispatcher that he was showing his wife, Margaret, 75, a shotgun and it just went off by mistake. The authorities subsequently discovered that Margaret had been struck by not one, but two bullets, one in the head and one in the torso, while a third bullet was recovered from the wall inside the couple's home. Based upon this evidence and additional information gathered during the investigation, it was determined that the claims by Kokoth of an accidental shooting are simply not supported. Gee, I wonder why. An accidental shooting is usually one round, not two, not three. Sounds like maybe he was chasing his wife around, not accidentally shooting her, but you let me know whether it was an accident or not. According to police reports, they believe that the defendant fired his shotgun, emptied the cartridges, reloaded, and fired again before claiming he was heading to a gun range and that the shooting was accidental. Oops. Reports also show that the defendant chuckled and said he didn't believe so when 911 dispatcher asked him if his wife was still breathing. A neighbor also told investigators that they heard two shots, but they were about 15 minutes apart. I think that's called after deliberation. The reports further noted that the couple's daughter feared for Margaret's safety, knowing that Albert had a weapon in the couple's home. Apparently, this fear was rooted in any suspicion of malicious intent, but the defendant suffered from dementia. Since he suffers from dementia, you can plan on a motion for competency being filed almost immediately by his attorneys. If the defendant is found to be competent, it will be difficult for the attorneys to show that it was an accident. All right, we brought you a lot of stories regarding McDonald's lately, usually in our dumb criminal contestant, but today a serious case involving McDonald's. This case, the Ronald McDonald House. There is somebody in Florida that is going around stealing donation boxes at the Ronald McDonald's House. The suspect apparently uses bolt cutters from a black backpack to cut the lock, then covers the donation box with his red jacket before fleeing the area on a red motorcycle. Now, it's not exactly sure how much money has been donated by citizens, as there's oftentimes cash put into the box. Take a look at this video, see if you recognize this guy. And guess what? If you can recognize him, there's a $5,000 reward that you can receive by contacting the Tampa Bay Crime Stoppers at 1-800-873-8477. Next on the docket, some quick legal advice. Do not do this if you get upset. And this story is kind of a teachable moment. A 74-year-old Florida man was arrested, get this, for making a bomb threat after he got upset with an agent at an airline ticket counter. Wegel Rosen got into an argument with an employee at a ticket counter in Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport, left his carry-on bag, and started to walk away. When the worker told Rosen to take his luggage, he said there was a bomb in it. He then left the bag and walked to another terminal. The threat, of course, prompted the evacuation of two terminals, shut down the entryway to the airport while authorities responded. Rosen was arrested and charged with one count of false report concerning planting a bomb, explosive, or weapon of mass destruction. Yeah, Mr. Rosen, do you really think this was worth it? I bet all those customers that had to be evacuated and rescreened through security missed their flights didn't think so. And since you're now facing felony charges, I doubt you think it was worth it as well. Now, next on the docket, the FBI gets thrown under the bus by their own inspector general in handling of the Larry Nassar case. Now, Larry Nassar was a doctor. He's now 57 years old, and he's serving a sentence of 40 to 174 years in state prison after, get this, 156 women and girls said that he sexually abused them over a course of 20 years. Well, the inspector general was not impressed by the FBI's office in Indianapolis. In fact, they found that the field offices dragged their feet to respond of the allegations of sexual assault made by gymnasts and the USA Gymnastics Organization back in 2015 and 16. The inspector general also found that FBI officials violated the agency's policy by making false statements. Ooh, that's not good when an FBI agent's lying, and failing to properly document complaints by the accusers. Now, I can tell you exactly why someone at the FBI didn't care about this case. They thought it was simply a case about some guy inappropriately touching individuals. They didn't think that it was important enough for federal involvement, but they didn't even pass it on to state authorities until some time. Bad, bad news. Now Nassar also pled guilty to a federal offense regarding images of young people that he had. But the reality of it is the feds dropped the ball. They didn't think it was that important. Well, turns out it was. Somebody probably would have got a nice little accommodation for their little cubicle or something there at the FBI if they had actually followed up on this case. Now they just got admonished for making false statements. That's not good. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Justin Pope. He was arrested for the theft of a ring that belonged to a woman by the name of Samantha Fuchs. She was 40 years old. He was 29. It's alleged that Pope stole the ring in mid-2019 from Fuchs's residence and then took the ring to be pawned and used the money to buy an engagement ring to give to Fuchs. Now, it took a little while for this to be reported, but apparently Mr. Pope went and tried to recover the ring at some point, but found that when he pawned it, he didn't come back in time. So they basically melted it down and sold it for scrap. The ring was valued at roughly $4,500. I think I know why this case was reported to police just a couple years after the incident. That's right. Pope and Fuchs are no longer together. They list separate addresses on the criminal complaint. Pope is being held in custody after his arrest on a $500 bond. Now, little word of advice, Mr. Pope. First, don't take things that don't belong to you. Don't take things that don't belong to you, particularly those of your girlfriend, to pawn them to give her a gift. People get offended by that. This is not a way to start a relationship based upon trust. Mr. Pope, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Maybe something good can come from this. Maybe you can get the new ring back to pawn it to pay for your attorney's fees. We'll see. Somehow, I doubt it. All right, that's all we have for you today. It was a long docket. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.